Merry Christmas. This is Sunday, December 22nd, and 2 days it'll be Christmas Eve, and we get to put all of our presents under the tree for the children to find the next morning. Some are from us, some are from Santa. And I thank you who gave us a really nice donation so we were able to provide this Christmas, which really means thank you, Father, for your supply, for your abundance. Now, I am quiet. I find my inner peace. I'm not struggling. I'm not seeking. There is a word, and the word is rest. I am resting back inside of myself. I am listening. I am receptive, here without seeking, without striving, without wanting, without desiring. Here I find my peace, and in my listening, in my standing still, in all of these thoughts stopping, I receive Him, and Him is the Holy Spirit. Now, Spirit, flow through. Reveal thyself. Reveal grace. On earth as it is in heaven. He restoreth my soul, which appears as harmony, blessing, love, Christmas. We're looking at the book of Joel's called Leave Your Nets. It was first published, it says here, in 1964. That's the year that Joel passed from the seen into the invisible. And I don't know if he ever saw it or if he did. But the book is a book on putting off mortality and putting on immortality. It's a book on leaving your nets. Nets are those things that you use to create and control and live in a world out here. And this chapter, chapter 9, is the new dimension. You will find this new dimension as you follow the path called the Infinite Way. As you learn its principles and practice them, and more importantly, as you learn to find your inner peace and are receptive, you will find this inner new dimension. And so he begins, the human scene continues to unfold day by day as it has through all the days of the past. There is always the temptation to hope that things will be different tomorrow. Now that's what we do in about a week from now. We are going to be starting our new year. And we are going to be hoping, many of us will be hoping, that the new year will be better. I will start my exercise program. I will lose some weight. I will go back to school. I will find another job. I will find the woman or the man that's right for me. I will move to a new city. Do you see? This is the material life being lived. So he says, left to itself, one day will follow another, as days always have. The human scene is a state of inertia. It continues being whatever it is now, and usually along the same lines. Nothing will be different tomorrow from what it is today, or from what it has been in the past, until a new note is brought into the picture. And I feel he could have used until a new self is brought into the picture. And that self, of course, is Christ. And he specifies that later in this chapter. Now he says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We talked about losing your life to find it. Very few find it. And the other scripture, I come not to send peace, but a sword. Up to now, what has been said is gentle and sweet and good-tasting. Now comes the part that makes the belly bitter. The living of this truth. This demands sacrifice and great effort. Don't ever believe that because you can close your eyes and quote a scripture and feel a little bit peaceful and not fall asleep, that you have exerted great effort. You haven't. When you read or you hear Joel say, sometimes I beg, and you know from his writings and his autobiography that in spite of all the healings that flowed through his consciousness, and in spite of all the teaching that flowed through his consciousness, he reached a point in his experience where he felt like a total and complete failure. Even with all of that, he reached a dark night of the soul. And it's in that book, The Autobiography of Joel S. Goldsmith. There's a letter there, a beautiful letter, that he writes to God. And in the letter he says, eventually he says, and so I take this failure and I give it to you, a perfect failure. And he lays it in God's hands. Now, if he should go through that kind of a dark night of the soul, who am I to think that I can just read a few books, get quiet a little bit, do a little contemplation, and feel that I should be in heaven? Why, I've done all this hard work. Oh, no. If you've ever read A Parenthesis in Eternity, you remember in the chapter on initiation, he says he smiles a little sadly when he gets these letters from students that say, I want initiation, because he knows, or he wonders what they would do with real initiation and the real dark night of the soul. There are some of you that have been through it, and I know you by name, but some of you haven't. Now, so this demands sacrifice and great effort to live these principles. Well, you say to yourself, what am I sacrificing? I guess I have to sacrifice a little time, maybe 3 times a day. Maybe I have to sacrifice 5 minutes so I can rehearse the truth in my mind and get quiet for a minute. Maybe I have to sacrifice going to the ball game. Maybe I had season tickets and I went to a lot of ball games. Now I'm going to have to sacrifice some of that because I have to read these books and listen to these talks. And I have to put aside some time, my precious time, and I'm sacrificing. Oh God, the human ego is something. Really something, when you think it doesn't even exist. So, what then? What does he mean by great effort and sacrifice? And bitter in the belly? Well, he says, it will not be too difficult for you to remember the truth that you and the Father are one, and all that the Father has is yours. The difficulty comes in living it, and it is only in the living of it that it can be demonstrated, okay? You should do like I did and underline that, or make some note that that's important. Only in the living of the truth can it be demonstrated. The living, that implies an action, not the knowing of the truth. It's not the knowing in your mind that demonstrates truth. Knowing in your mind, well, it's comfortable, I guess. It reminds you of some truth, but then you open your eyes and go about your business and you still have all your problems. Why, you may ask? Because you're not living the truth. You're simply knowing it up here intellectually. So, it is only in the living of it that it can be demonstrated. Declaring I and my Father are one, or declaring your sonship, will be of little help to you. You must assume your obligation as a son. Oh, did you know you had obligations? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you thought this was all just going to be dropped on you. Here, you can have my mantle. No, consciousness is not just dropped on you. You have an obligation to live it. Part of the responsibility, he says, and entailed in that relationship lies in your readiness and willingness to leave your nets, in the sense of stopping your search for health and supply, and to rest in the conscious awareness of these as divine gifts already established within your being, even though momentarily not visible outwardly. This means no longer voicing truth, but living the truth of your identity, being willing to be called upon to heal or feed the multitudes. Can you do it? Yes, you can, if you realize I of mine own self cannot do it, but by virtue of my divine sonship, I can. Now, he says, you must have one of your obligations as a son. You must have the conscious awareness. He didn't say the conscious thought. The conscious awareness of health and supply as divine gifts already established within you, within your being, within your consciousness. Ah. Yes, that. Well, okay, so how does that equate to sacrifice? How does that equate to great effort? How does being consciously aware of health and supply as divine gifts established in your consciousness How does that relate to great effort and sacrifice? Well, let's take a look. I noticed, since this book is on Leave Your Nets, and it has to do with putting off a material sense of existence, putting off mortality, and putting on immortality, it occurred to me that there was a chapter by the same name in this little black book called The Infinite Way by Joel S. Goldsmith. It's the very first chapter that was written in the very first book of The Infinite Way. And in the very first seven paragraphs, seven paragraphs, you have the entire secret of putting off mortality and putting on immortality. You have the entire secret, every principle of the infinite way. It's right here, in the first seven paragraphs. So let's look at them. But remember, this is the part that's bitter in the belly. This is the part that requires sacrifice and great effort. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. We've discussed this before. The Word, of course, is that inner movement, and the flesh that it becomes or appears as is the invisible flesh, spiritual flesh, which then appears out here as some form of harmony. Now, the Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. See that? The Word is the substance. The Word is your immortality. And you're supposed to put off your conscious awareness of a material sense of universe and self, and you're supposed to put on this immortal Word, this immortality. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, spirit, or mind. And Joel said if he was going to change something in this book, he would change that capital M mind to consciousness. So it would read this way, and I'm going to change it for him. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, spirit, or consciousness. In this way do we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. Now that you should underline. There has never been two worlds. In this way do we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. See, there's no God and. But rather, what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, or spirit made visible, or consciousness expressed as idea. Or is that what you see when you look around? Do you see consciousness expressed, or the Word made flesh, or spirit made visible? No. You see a material sense of universe. Well, what does it say about that? All the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom or spiritual life, and the other, a material world or mortal existence, each separate from the other. Now, because of this sense of two worlds, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer, to contact this other world or spiritual realm, and to bring spirit or God to act upon the so-called material existence. Now, I still get emails, even from our group, asking me to pray because there's a problem with health, to pray because there's a problem with supply. Please pray for my supply. I've lost my job. Please pray for my health. I'm feeling very sick. Please pray for the health of my uncle. Now, I know that these people, in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their pain, they're wanting health. They're wanting supply. They're wanting a new companion. I get it. In a material sense of self, that's what you want, a better material sense. What does he say about that? Well, let's look. This is the part that makes it bitter in the belly, because that's praying amiss. What does he say? Let us, and us is in italics, so that's everyone here in our group of about 100. Let us, then, begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather that the universe in which we live is the realm of reality, or the kingdom of heaven, about which man entertains a false concept. All right, now I've said it over and over. Maybe you can hear it this day. Maybe I can hear it a little deeper this day. You've all seen the pictures or a movie, or maybe in real life you've done what I did and gone to a state mental facility where some of the people are completely insane, and the criminally insane there are locked up, but the other people that are not so bad are walking around. And if you've been there, perhaps you've seen the fellow that believes he's Napoleon. Maybe he has his hand in his shirt, and you try to talk to him, and he tells you about the next battle coming up. Or someone comes along and believes he's Jesus Christ, and you try to talk to him, and you get a blessing. Or maybe you get Florence Nightingale, or you get the lady that tried to fly around the world and ended up missing. What was her name? Oh yes, Amelia Earhart. Now, these people in the mental institution really believe this. He's living in his concepts of Napoleon. That's his universe. But is he living in that universe? Is he really in France? Is he really walking around Europe? No. He's in, say, Camarillo in California. What about her? Is she flying a plane? No. But in their mind they are, all the time standing in a mental institute, all the time standing in the kingdom of heaven. This is our two people on the bench, and one is in hell and one is in heaven. And it's not the bench, and it's not the world, and it's not heaven. So, how then are we ever to bring harmony into our experience if we're living in such a material sense of self that we really believe we're a mortal human being, living in something called this world, this material sense of world? Well, he tells you, the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not then getting rid of or even changing a mortal universe, a mortal material universe. The work is in correcting the finite concept of our existence. See? every one of us is standing in the finished kingdom. Every one of us is the complete Christ. Perhaps this Christmas can be a little different than you've ever had before. Perhaps you can receive in your peaceful manger, perhaps you can receive a glimpse of your Christ self, the one you really are, standing in the kingdom. So he continues, the seeker of truth starts his search with a problem, perhaps with many problems, and the first years of his search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power. Can you see how he's trying to pull that power into a material sense of universe, trying to pull that presence into a material sense of self? And you might say, as I've thought in the past, oh, you know, this is just double talk. Yes, okay, I get it. There's no material universe, but I need a healing. So I'm going to pretend that there's no material universe, and I'm going to go along with the crowd here, and I'm going to pray. But in the back of my mind, I know I'm looking for a healing. I want to get better. So we'll just play this little game. But it's not a game, and we're not playing. You're standing in the kingdom. What needs to change is not your material self and not your material universe. What needs to change is your inner concepts of these things. Now he goes on to say, the day arrives, however, when he perhaps discovers that the application of truth to human problems either does not work or does not work as it once did. Or he finds less satisfaction and inspiration in his studies. Eventually, and this day I hope this happens to you, eventually he is led to the great revelation, and this is important to Joel, that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God does not create, nor does he control material affairs. So he says we have to put off the mortal in order that we may behold the harmony of the spiritual realm. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? We have to have great sacrifice and great effort. It means we have to give up, surrender a material sense of ourselves. And maybe that's all I've ever had. Maybe that's scary. I don't want to be the hole in the donut. I don't want to be a nothingness. What about this material sense of universe? Wait, how do I give this up? That's all I ever see. Fortunately, it does not have to happen in one cataclysmic event. It can happen as we're doing it. One piece, one brick at a time. We are not promised anything in the infinite way except if we persist, we will have an inner experience that reveals our true self and the true kingdom in which we are standing. And once that has happened, it will happen again. It may take 8 months, between the experiences as it did for Joel. It may happen sooner than that, next week or next month. Maybe longer, maybe next year. But if we persist, we will be living in that kingdom part of the time and in this world part of the time. And we will go back and forth and back and forth until the day comes, and it is the promise of the infinite way, that Christhood becomes our identity. And the words, "I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life," become a reality. And the finished kingdom becomes our permanent dwelling place. Now, it's our permanent dwelling place now. And that is our real self now, the Christ. But we're not living in it. We're living in a temporary material concept of self and many material concepts of universe. We've got to come out of that, and that's not an experience out here. Okay? That's an experience in here, in your inner being, in your inner consciousness. The concepts fall away. The veils fall away, and you see, and sometimes it's startling. Oh, my God! Could it be? Am I really infinite? Yes, you are. I can't tell this to anybody. They'd never believe. You're right. Silence. Secret. And so the principles of the infinite way change us within. What about these good things? What about health and harmony and companionship and substance, wealth? Aren't I to have these things? I don't know. These are all the added things. As you seek within for this inner change and drop all of that out there, the Christ itself will appear as whatever your need is fulfilled. So your business is not out there, not even looking to change out there. Your business is this inner change. And here's how he says it. Now, we're just to the first part of this chapter where Joel says it's bitter in the belly and it demands sacrifice and great effort. Let's look at the new horizon. When he says must, I think you can pretty much count on the fact that this is an internal principle you must practice. It must be understood there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. You see, there's no more reality to ill health than there is to health, a material sense of health. When you feel bad and you have a cough in the back of your throat and the sniffles, maybe you have allergies, that's not reality, and you're willing to say that, aren't you? But what about when you feel perfectly fine and you're out riding your bicycle a mile or two and you come home and you, or you go out jogging for a while and you come home and you lift some weights or do some sit-ups and some stretching exercises and you feel pretty good? Well, what does he say about that? You must understand there's no reality to that, not the good or the bad material sense of self. Oh, my God, I can't. How do I? You see, it sets up a battle, doesn't it? A battle between the spirit and the flesh. It's bitter in the belly. Here it is again. It must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion. The entire human scene is hypnotism. If you're seeing a material universe, you are hypnotized. If you're seeing a material self, you are hypnotized. If that's all you see. Now, it is possible, as has happened to myself, that you see a material sense of self, but also you're feeling the infinite substance, the infinite presence behind those pictures. So, it's easy then when you feel that eternal substance to say, oh, those are just pictures. We must rise above the desire for good human conditions. You get that? Do you get that? Yes, great sacrifice. Oh, I've wanted that for what? For I've been working for that for. It's not saying that you have to leave your job or leave your family or stop loving your family. Because, again, this is not something you do out there. It's within. It's in here. Within that you say to yourself, oh, I've got to make this change. I've got to set aside these material concepts, even the good ones that I like. I've got to find a way to become consciously aware of the essence of life, of the Word made invisible flesh. So, he says, you should understand fully. Suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe. And all human conditions, good and evil, are dreams, having no reality or permanence. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear. Are you willing to let go of the good as well as the bad? You can't not come into the conscious awareness of Christ unless you are. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Now, that's pretty big. Don't you think? That means all of a material sense of universe must go. Well, how do you do that? Well, that's what's called living these principles. That's what he's talking about in this chapter, The New Dimension. Now, do you not know, he says, that as a human being you cannot help resenting injuries, and that you cannot hold these human emotions of envy, jealousy, and malice in check? Each person is touched by some hurt or resentment, some pique, some anger or frustration. You cannot help that in your humanhood. But the Christhood of your being can accept and dissolve it. If only you omit the word I. Just omit the word I. I cannot be hurt. That was not aimed at me. That is no part of my being. So let the Christhood of me absorb it. Now, he's not saying, but we know, don't we? Sometimes we enjoy these resentments. Sometimes we enjoy a little gossip, a little character assassination with other people. We get something out of it. Nothing real, just a little enjoyment for the material sense of self that thinks it's a little better than another material sense of self. How ridiculous that is. One illusion saying I'm better than that illusion. Oh, God. It's amazing. So, even in our enjoyment of that perverse kind of gratitude, even there we must be willing to let it go. We have to, well, it demands great sacrifice, or sacrifice and great effort. All of that little me has to go. And all of the little me's out there have to go. I have to get out of those concepts in order to have a conscious awareness of the divine creation in which I'm really living. All the human wisdom you can gain will not heal anyone or feed anyone, nor will it give you the priceless hidden manna to give out to the world. But through your recognition of your sonship, you can say, "Ask me for water, and I will give you water, the water of everlasting life. Come to me with your burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you comfort." Comfort out of what? Out of what you have learned in a book? No, no, no. Out of your divinity, out of your Christhood, out of the hidden manna that is given to you as a child of God. Out of the meat that the world knows not of. That meat that you carry around within you. Now, this is so easy to put into words, but it is not easy to put into practice, he says. It's not easy to acknowledge every moment of every day your divine sonship, the new dimension, so that when you're called upon, you do not respond with, "I haven't any money to give you," but rather, "Yes, I have hidden manna to share with you. I have meat that the world knows not of. I have living waters to give you." All right. Down here he says, don't ever give anyone any advice. No, they don't want advice from a material sense of self. No, he says, when someone asks you for help, you say, "Let us meditate. Let us bring the Christ to bear on any and every situation." All right, so how do we put off mortality and put on immortality? Do you know? We've been talking about it for weeks. To step out of a material sense of self and a material sense of universe, it is necessary to shut off the senses to what they are reporting. So you close your eyes, and you, if needed, remember a scripture that reminds you of the truth. You're not yet experiencing the truth. No. You're just rehearsing statements about the truth within. And so you might take, "First I find my peace, and then I receive him. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am here. Be not afraid. It is I." And so you find your inner rest, your inner peace. You're not striving. You're not struggling. I am still. I am letting go a material sense of self. I don't know what I really am. I'm letting go a material sense of universe. I don't know what the kingdom is like. I have one thing now to do. That is to make the effort to turn within, that I might have the conscious awareness of the living Christ. And so I sit still. I breathe deep. Father, reveal the Christ. Reveal the I at the center of my being. Reveal the Word as the invisible flesh, as the Christ, as the I. Sometimes I hear a voice that says, I am with you. And I know I have heard the voice of Christ. Sometimes I catch a vision of an infinite, invisible, spiritual substance that permeates everything, all that is, and I know it is the Christ self. Sometimes I feel that inner movement, which is expressed as the movement of the Spirit over the face of the deep, which to me is the Christ moving through my consciousness. Sometimes I feel an actual presence touches me on the arm or the leg or both at once. I feel that inner tingling. I know it is I, the Christ. And I remember I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Yes, that's what I'm here for. That's the work of the Son of God. I am here to pour forth out of this Christ, out of this hidden manna. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Your work for me is to be the Son, to be the Christ. Christmas? Yes, that is what I just had in the manger of my withinness. A visit of the Christ, the real Christ, the living Christ. It moved in and through me. Now I am prepared. Now I can give, I can feed, I can heal, I can bless. Miracles will happen through the Christ of your being, but only trouble will come through giving human advice, so never give advice, never. Remember, you have a new dimension. It's not a mental dimension. It's not a material sense of self dimension. It's not a material sense of universe dimension. It's an inner Christ dimension. Remember, your dimension now is the Christ. Your dimension is a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Yes, and that stone is what you just felt within yourself as you took your hands off. You had hands off. No material self, no material universe, no material desires, no material bad, but no material good. Hands off. What is the universe of your making? Show me, open my eyes. And you see, as you stand a little to one side, a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. The white stone whose name is Christ the Invisible. As you turn to it, you have no tangible evidence yet. But you have an inner assurance and realization of a presence that goes before you. You have an inner conscious awareness of the hidden manna. Even though you cannot see it today, you are still living by this inner invisible Christ. You see that? That's the sacrifice. You sacrifice using your hands. You sacrifice a universe built by hands. The great effort is to be effortless, to stop seeking, searching. Your good is yours as a gift of God. Accept it as that. But while you are in the Spirit, you are free, silently, of course, to invite the whole world to sup with you. Come. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to this spiritual feast. Yes, Merry Christmas. Let me share with you this divine grace that comes as the gift of God. Let me give you waters of life from the hidden spring. Let me give you of this hidden manna, the spiritual food and rest. Let me share this inner meat. Let me give you what measure of my peace I have found. My gentle, gentle peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that goes before you to make the crooked places straight. Let the reign of God be upon you, for his kingdom endureth forever. Withdraw your gaze from the outer, and in the silence of your being, realize that you are home in God. No more do you look outside into the prodigal experience for your good. Do the work the Father gives you to do every moment, whatever its nature, knowing, as you do it to the utmost of your ability, it fits you for more and higher work in His service. You are no longer man whose breath is in his nostrils. You have no needs. You have no desires. Now you have the realization of fulfillment, since now you know and have discovered I within your being. You see that? This is the Christmas experience. All that I have is thine. Merry Christmas, my child. Come within. Come within to this deep well of contentment, Joel says. And rest here, beside the well of your consciousness, until you feel the waters move without hands. He says, if you can accept your true identity and live in that awareness, you can welcome the whole world to come to you for comfort, substance, supply, guidance, healing, reformation, Christhood. Welcome the entire world without limitation, knowing that even though you of yourself can do nothing, because of this inner Christhood, all the gifts of the Father are yours to pour out, to bestow, without judgment, without price. Show forth your demonstration that you have received a new name, Divine Son, joint heir with Christ in God. No longer worm of the dust, no longer a beggar seeking health and wealth out of here. Listen for the voice within you, and you will hear it say, Son, all that I have is thine. Fear not, for I am with thee. The kingdom of God is within you. But please do not go around mouthing these words. How many times, says Joel, have I told you in the writings, God cannot be known. God must be experienced. See that? And this inner experience that we just shared is the Christ experience, is the real Christmas. Then you have gifts to pour out. Go within. There is a presence in you there is a spirit within you. Learn to abide with it. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. I will give you rest, and peace, and strength. But where will you meet me? Within your own being. How will you become acquainted with me? Commune with yourself. You must make for yourself minutes and hours of time for communion. You must have union. You must have realization. Now, he just slipped that one by, so let's look at it. You must have union. You must have realization. Up until now, perhaps you thought realization of oneness was thinking these scriptures, mulling over these scriptures, contemplating these scriptures. No, there's another step, my dear friend. And that is the step of union. You must have union. There's a must there again. When you experience union with that inner Christ, with that inner movement, with the Father, with the invisible flesh of the Son of God, when you experience union with that, then you've had a realization of oneness, and not before. Withdraw from the outer world. You do not have to let your wisdom be known until you have proved it to the fullest. So do not be in a hurry to tell this to anyone. Be quiet. Be quiet. No one is asking you to advertise it. Make it your own. Make it your own. Live as though you really were the Son of God, which you really are. Refute all appearances to the contrary. Stand fast in the faith that you have gained. Stand fast in the assurance you have received within your own being. That divine sonship is the truth of your identity. Rest from the mental and physical struggle. Yeah, rest from your hands. And let the kingdom of God flow forth from you. Let the stone be cut out of the mountain without hands. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. No longer rest in your material sense of health, or in your material sense of wealth. Rest in your assurance of the divine presence and of your sonship. So, now, Joel says, I say unto you, you have assumed your new identity. You have accepted your relationship now as the Son of God, and you are acknowledging this identity. At least once a day, if possible, more often, remember to retire into your inner being for the touch of the Christ, for the realization of the presence. You see, the realization is union with Christ, or feeling the touch of the Christ. Whether you achieve it at first is not important. The important thing is that you continue in the effort of retiring into your inner being, and there making contact with this inner self, this hidden manna, until you do feel the impulse. Then you will know that whatever the circumstances of your human experience, whether business, home, health, or wealth, a change will take place, and a change for the better. But you're not looking for that change. You're looking for the touch of the Christ. That's your work. Finally, he says, the Christ is a living presence and power, the greatest power ever known or realized. the Christ in all times and for all those who have achieved it, has overcome the world. Not for the world, but for you and for me who have discovered and felt it. Everyone who has ever achieved Christ has been set free from the trials and tribulations and strife of the world. All right, so that is the chapter, The New Dimension. And what is the new dimension? We know now it's really the new self. It's really the new awareness. It's really the new universe. And that is perhaps what we'll talk about next week as we approach the new year. Knowing now what we know of the Christ within, and how it flows through, and how it comes to you, I wish for all of you within hearing distance of my voice a very, truly Merry Christmas.